Hello, welcome to the Mama Squad Podcast, Episode 8. Today we're going to talk about communication. And we're not just talking about communication in our personal relationships, but friendships, our kids, work, all of it. Because communication is key in any and every relationship.
I cannot tell you how accurate that statement is. I wish I would have known now what I know back then. I messed up that saying so bad, you guys.
I wish I would have known
back then what I know now. Jesus. Thank you for the assist. All jokes aside, for real, I think that it would have definitely helped my first marriage if I would have known how to communicate with my ex-husband, if we knew how to communicate with each other. What I know now is that we just weren't speaking each other's language. Love language, speaking language, just in general, we were not communicating. So earlier this year, I actually went with my ex-boyfriend to see Gary Chapman. He's the author of The Five Love Languages. And you guys, this book has literally changed my life, along with therapy. Not to discredit therapy or anything. But the five love languages, if you haven't gotten the book yet, definitely get it, along with the five apology languages. So what I learned is that you have to know how you like to be loved, but not only that, how you like to show your love. And then when things are going rocky in your relationship or with your kids or your marriage or your significant other, also how you feel an apology is sincere and how you apologize to the other person, because those things are just massive in any relationship. Because how many times have someone came to you and they were like, yo, I'm sorry? For me, I'm like, I don't care if you're sorry. Like, that shit don't mean nothing to me. I like action. I like someone to say, I'm sorry for this. And this is how it's never going to happen again. What about you?
You know, I think I go through this a lot with my kids. Like, okay, you're sorry. Great. Why are you sorry? How are you going to change it? I'm sick of hearing I'm sorry for doing something wrong, but then you repeat the same action. Like, don't repeat the same action, bro. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel. So I feel like we're the types that need to apologize and then take responsibility. There's this one love, I don't remember the whole love languages, and no spoilers, I don't want to give out what the rest of them are, so you guys better check out that book. But one of them is an actual apology love language is, apology language is forgiving someone. I was like, I have never asked anyone to forgive me because, like, I barely apologize.
Yeah, you just own it. You're just like, yeah, whatever. I pissed that person off. Move on with your life now.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not perfect, people. I'm working on it. I am Latina. I am very stubborn. So,
so what I'm hearing is you need to practice your apologies.
For real though, communication is such a big one. I was telling someone that we were actually going to do the podcast today, and I was telling them that, oh, I can't wait for you to listen because today we're going to record about communication. And this guy responds to me like, oh, your favorite, because I tend to over communicate just because I am so sick of people trying to guess what the other person is thinking or what the other person is trying to say. I'm an open book. Like, I will tell you exactly what I'm thinking, exactly how you hurt my feelings and why you hurt my feelings. Bitch therapy.
You know, that's just something I've always loved and kind of envied. And, you know, sometimes I'm just like, Sandra,
it's too much.
You're oversharing a bit. I'm going to slow your roll here. But no, it's amazing how just the change of communication can be, because, like, if I look at my marriage, which we've been married 13 years, together for 15, obviously we're doing something, right? Most days. You know, we have our off days. It's marriage. But as long as you realize your relationship is not always going to be 100% all rainbows, butterflies, and bubbles. It's more like some days you have to wake up and choose that you want to be there and choose to make the decision to stay and choose to still love somebody even when maybe they're not performing at their highest. But at that point, it's so important to accurately communicate that in a way that is, you know, good for you, but also good for them. And that's where those five love languages also come in. Because if I'm like, dude, what the heck? You messed everything up. Versus, hey, you know, what's going on? Why are you feeling this way? Did I miss something? Is there something else going on? And being open to have them say, yeah, you did this. And this really hurt my feelings or offended me. Or we need to do this better. And then we can communicate on how to come up with a solution to fix that problem.
Oh my God. As you were speaking right now, I was literally thinking back to when I was married in the Marine Corps. And in the Marine Corps, like, you know, you literally just do what you're told. So you literally don't think about, I'm Marine, so crayons, whatever. But literally you don't think about actions, you just do. So when I was married with my ex-husband, I didn't know how to communicate. So when he was trying to talk to me and trying to have a conversation, because I didn't know what to say and I was so scared to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, I literally froze. Like, in the literal sense of the word, I froze. And I did not know how to communicate with him. And now with my ex-boyfriend, he's the one who taught me how to really communicate, because I had to learn, because he didn't understand feelings. I had to communicate what I was feeling. And that pushed me to really open up and, I guess, open up, but like to myself. What's the word I'm looking for? Help me out here.
I feel like I know the word, but right now, I'm not sure anybody else, but I'm exhausted.
But I really had to look inward to
self-evaluate.
Ah, there we go. Self-evaluate. Thank you. To self-evaluate my own feelings so I can communicate them and explain why I was mad or why I was. So now, like, I remember I used to be such a fiery ass Latina, for real. Like, all I did was yell, yell, and yell. That was my communication love language. But now I feel like, because now I know how to analyze my feelings, I know what I'm feeling, I'm a lot better at being like, bro, you really hurt my feelings.
Right. And I feel like some of that would also stem from being a Marine, right? Like, in the military, there's a stigma. They say up and down, there's not a stigma. Bro, there's a stigma. There's a stigma to showing your emotions. There's a stigma to have to do certain things for your own mental health. And they don't allow you to truly feel because you're not supposed to.
I would agree. And I think that is accurate. Because I'm thinking back to, like, my friends who are still in the Marine Corps, still serving, or not just the Marine Corps, any branch, you guys, but, you know, I'm biased. But talking to them while they were in, you know, the service in the military versus talking to them now is completely different. I just got feedback on this podcast. I need you guys to listen and give us feedback. But I was talking to this Marine that I serve with. He actually gave me a lot of feedback about this podcast. Thank you. But I was like blown away by what he was saying and how he was able to articulate it compared to how we communicated in the military. And when I say we, I don't mean just me and the sergeant. I mean like just anyone in general. Everything was just like, yeah, it's good. End of story. Instead of like actual feedback and what we're doing good and all these things. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, granted, I wasn't the one in the military. I saw it. I watched it happen sometimes. And it's just like, bro, there's got to be more to this. Like, they can't just stop there, you know? And when I come back home, right, and I bring bring the story back home. You know, when my husband and I were 19 with a brand new baby, we did not understand how to communicate. But when he left for basic and he comes home, it is just a whole new realm. And we were able to just really connect and be like, listen, this is what's going on. This is where I am. I need help. Like, that was one of my hardest things, was to communicate when I need help. Now, let's be real. I still kind of suck at it, but I'm getting better.
Pretty sure you don't suck at it.
I'm not great at it, but I'm getting better. And our relationship is better, because if he does something that upsets me, we can talk about it. Or if I'm doing something that upsets him, we can talk about it. I mean, jokingly, all jokes aside here, let's talk about those marked red text messages that don't get responded to.
Oh my God. This is a hot ticket item right now in this household.
It drives me nuts. Like, bro, I know you read it. Just acknowledge the fact that you read it. Like, you don't have to be like, give me like a 5-page essay about what I said. Just thumbs up it. Let me know you're alive. Did someone steal your phone? I don't know.
Dude, I really don't think the red text message is that big of a deal, because I don't, in the military, we're so used to everyone knowing our location and like responding to texts right away and just knowing what we're doing, when we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it. Like, to me, it's really not a big deal to share my location with someone or to have my red receipts on and be like, yeah, like, hey, I'm at work. I'll text you in a little bit.
Right. And, you know, also, I feel like the whole sharing location thing is important, especially
the safety issue.
Yeah, especially for women nowadays. Like, listen, I know I can protect myself, but not all my friends can do that. And
listen, I can lift, but I can't run. So, like, I can throw something heavy at you, but I can't run away from you, okay?
I'm gonna throw something and I'm gonna lightly jog away.
Lightly jog.
No, but like, for real, I've taught my kids, like my one of my kids goes out running, right? And I'm like, listen, have a text ready for me. Mom, important, come get me. But also sharing the location where she's running so that I know, so that I'm able to be like, okay, and where they're at, go. Jump in my car and go. Because this child is specifically a runner. She loves to run. And I'm not going to take that from her. But nowadays, you have to be safe.
You never know. Yeah, you never know. Like, my daughter, she has gone into the habit of going bike riding. And hopefully, and next week she gets a phone. But I will have her make sure that she either takes her brother's phone or my phone. And she has to set a 10-minute timer every single time that she goes out so she can FaceTime me, specifically FaceTime me to let me know she's okay. And be like, and I'll check in. Just be like, oh, okay, just checking in. All right. All right. And then she'll get off the call. And I'll be like, okay, just check in another 10 minutes.
Right. And I don't feel like, I know people are probably out there like, God, helicopter mom. But no, like,
My kid is not being stolen. So
not just that, but where we live specifically, it's not a bad area, but it's known for certain things and kids go missing. So fact is, this is just us being precautious and communicating with our kids about the safety. Like, listen, I want you to have your independence. I want you to go do what you need to do, but you just need to let us know what's going on, where you're at, you're safe, whatever. That's important because you never know what can happen.
Exactly. First of all, have my genetics. My kids are bombshells, okay? So if anyone wants to steal any kids, they'd want to steal my kids. And my kids, they're not getting stolen. That is why you shall check in every 10 minutes on the dot. You're welcome for my service.
Mine will probably get returned. But seriously, it's just being able to, you know, even have that conversation. I mean, it all goes back to communication, right? Like, I'm not going to scare my kids and be like, hey, the world's an ugly place. No, but let's be real. Like, be aware of your surroundings. If you're out by yourself, if there's some weirdo that's just making you uncomfortable, be loud about it.
yell, scream, everything.
I am known as the person in Publix who'd be like, yo, what's your problem? And people are staring at that guy. And I'm like, ha ha.
I definitely agree. So I think like going through therapy and knowing like what my communication love language is and what my apology language is has really helped me out with my daughter, especially because she's the one who I have trouble with communicating the most because she is 100% like me. I am in for a world of trouble, you guys. But it really has helped me communicate with her. I want to say like a week or no, not a week, like a month or two ago, I actually sat down with her and we were talking about what each other's love language is, like how she likes to be loved, like how she likes for me to show her love and how she likes to show her love. And I was surprised. I was really surprised.
Yeah, that's a really special conversation, I feel like, too. To be able to understand your child at that level and to have that conversation is just, it's really a beautiful thing.
Dude, it's one of the conversations that I think I've had in a really long time. So she's 11 right now. But for real, in a really, really long time where I feel like I actually really connected with her. So I would say if you do any exercise, find out what your love language is, how you like to be loved, how to receive love, and how you like to give love. And then talk to your kid about it and ask them what makes them feel loved. What do you do that makes them feel loved? Is it all the cuddles? Is it just saying I love you? Is it quality time? Is it whatever all the other ones are?
You know, I feel like that's an important conversation to have because I can tell you all three of my kids are different. One is definitely a touch person. They love to be loved on and snuggled and whatever. The other one is like an action, like be there for me, be present, be in the moment, take me to what I need to be and just remind me that I'm loved. Don't touch me. Please, for the love of God, don't touch me. Like that's one of my kids.
That's definitely my daughter. My son is a cuddler. I will cuddle on him all day, every day.
You know, and it's as important as the love languages are, which I 100% agree to that and support it. And I support the apology languages. Just know that you also just need to learn how to accurately communicate and use the words properly too.
Yes. If you know these things, that's great. But if you don't know how to communicate them and articulate what you like, it's not going to do anyone any good because you actually need to get it across to the other person across from you. I said across a lot.
You did. That was a lot of acrosses. But it's fine. Like, you got the point across. At the end of the day, it's all about getting your point across without offending somebody so that they can communicate back. Because when you're communicating with someone, it has to be a two-way street, right? You don't want to communicate with a wall. You want to leave that discussion open. So if I'm having that discussion and I'm like, hey, you did this. It upset me. Did I do something wrong? Or did I miss something? Or, hey, you've been really off lately. Or you're not responding to my text message. Are you okay? And that's how you open up that line of communication. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. And don't be afraid to receive the answers. If you're asking, hey, can I do something better for you? And they give you something that may be considered a criticism, don't take it offensive. Take it as, okay, this is a growing point. This is something that I can grow from. One of the things my husband has told me is that I need to be more organized. Now, I'm not the best at organizing. I can't be mad at him for it. I own it. And understanding that that is something that helps him relax is important because he can communicate that to me. And he can say, hey, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Can we take care of the bedroom? Okay, yes, let's organize the room. Hey, let's do this. You know, it's being able to take the criticism without feeling offended. That's important too.
100%. So at my day job, what I do is one of the very first things I do when I talk to people is tell them, like, hey, I take criticism extremely well. If you tell me you don't like the way I'm saying something, you don't like how I'm wording it, you're not picking up what I'm putting down, just let me know so I can fix myself. Because that's one thing I truly believe in, is self-improvement. And communication is a huge one, because you can always, always, always improve your communication. So, oh, I just thought of my sister, because actually throughout the years we've improved our communication a lot. Like, now me and my sister actually have like deep conversations and grown-up conversations and conversations about like our kids. We are super freaking close.
Right.
Like I was saying before, communication is the one thing you can always, always, always grow in.
Yeah. And again, it's for anything. You can use better communication in your work life, in your home life, raising your children, talking to teachers, any of it. All you have to do is take the time to figure out how to accurately communicate. In your tone, your facial expression. I'm sorry, people who like have faces like me that are
resting
like a
bitch
book.
Face.
I don't have a wretch.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about me. My bad.
You and I are about to fight. But like, sometimes my face speaks before I do. Like, I will own that. There are times my husband's like, Heather, your face. And I'm like, oh.
Fix your face.
My bad. Sorry.
I always look mean, so I do know what you're saying, though. Communication comes in a lot of ways, so not just verbally. It comes with softening your tone. Oh, man, when I talk to type A guys and they don't like to hear anything from a woman, I just say, this is how I got my job, is I say, like, I just manipulate them, because as soon as a woman softens their tone and it's just say, hey, oh, yeah, what do you think about this? And make it seem like it's their idea. It's 100%. There's so many ways to communicate. That is, I'm not saying manipulate, guys. That is not what I'm saying here at all, 100%. I'm just saying that women like me can soften their tone and soften their face. That went completely the wrong way.
I was trying so hard not to laugh. That is what I call my customer service voice, friends. It's all about how you present stuff too, right? Like, if I'm going to apologize for something, I'm not going to come in and be like, I'm sorry.
I do. Sometimes I do.
And that's why you don't apologize much.
This is true.
Right? You just gonna be like, oh, I'm so sorry for what I did. Yada, yada, yada. Like, don't come at me with an attitude when you apologize. Like, bro, honey, sweetheart, no.
I don't know if I could even do that, just pretending. Because my pretend voice is just like, I'm fucking sorry that you're mad. Literally, my apologies, you guys. I'm sorry for the tone that I use, but I'm not sorry for the words that I said.
That feels accurate coming out of your mouth.
It's the best apology you guys will get out of me.
You know, growing up, I have really learned how to communicate more accurately. And, you know, as a kid, you just don't get it. You don't. Like, it's whatever.
You don't.
You have to learn society. And sometimes I may be a little bit abrupt because, well, social norms aren't always my strong suit. Sometimes I'm just like, screw society. I'm going to be me. I mean, let's be real. This podcast is very open, very real, and very honest. And
I really need you guys' feedback too. So, like, I know I just called out a bunch of my friends for, you know, clapping, and you see all of us posting stuff on social media, but I don't see the follows. Like, y'all, I need y'all to follow, subscribe, like. I said that backwards. Damn, I'm not good at this.
Hey, you know what? You put it out there. You know, Mama Squad, we are trying to do so much more than what we've been doing and start building like events and getting people one-on-one. And by you subscribing and by you following us and putting us out there, you're helping support Mama Squad.
Yeah.
Not just our families, not just us, but us being able to support other families.
And we'd really, really appreciate, for real, all sassiness aside, we'd really appreciate if you supported us, if you reached out to us and let us know what you like, what you dislike, and about our podcast. We're really just literally grassroots effort at this, so we're all learning, and I'd really, really like to know what your feedback on the topics, how you feel our flow is, what you think we talk about, things like that.
Right, and growth comes from communication too. Like, we can keep putting these podcasts out, and we can keep working hard to get the information out and to post and to do everything else that we need. But if people aren't listening or people aren't enjoying it, we can't change it and we can't fix it. So communicate with us. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. I want to thank you all so much for listening to episode 8 of the Mama Squad podcast.
Woohoo! Episode 8.
You can go ahead and follow us on all of our social media, either TikTok, Instagram, or Facebook, or you can email us. Everything is in our show notes. Again, thank you so much for listening to Mama Squad podcast, and I hope you have a wonderful week.